Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
I'm just going to jump off of that statement for a minute because we need to understand that Davids are born and formed out of brokenness and out of testings and trials. David served the Lord on a hillside, and he tended to the sheep, and he conquered a lion, and he conquered a bear. But when he came out of that season, he then conquered Goliath. But he could never have conquered Goliath if he had not been on the hillside and fought the lion and the bear. You fought the lion and the bear. Goliath has his mark, and you are a sharp shooter. But see, that's not just for Nathaniel, that's for all of us. Don't despise the testings and the trials. Don't despise the battles with the lion and the bear. Don't waste your test, because they will forge you into who it is God has created you to be. Without those things, you will never fully become who God's called you to be. As American Christians, and probably more than that, but I'm just going to address it here, we have run from the test and the trials. Because for years we were taught, come to Jesus and everything's going to be fine. And everything is fine in the end. Everything is glorious in the end. But the journey that we walk through, we're going to fight the lions, the bears, and the Goliaths. And you're not going to be able to walk through life, you know, walking through the daisies. I mean, we're not tiptoeing through the daisies. We're in war. We have an enemy that hates us. And I'm not talking people, though. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the enemy has the face of people. And they're not always professing unbelievers. And we need to understand that we have to follow and get to where we so know the voice of God that even when the enemy is raging, even through other believers, to back up, you're too radical, you're too this, you're too that, that we have to so know the voice of God that we will not shrink back in the day of adversity. There is a strengthening that is happening and must happen in the body of Christ in this country right now. I keep looking back here at my new friend who comes from Nigeria. The Nigerian Christians are praying for us, because they know the battle we're engaging in. And far too many here don't know. They don't understand it. And they're going, make peace. We can't make peace with the devil. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about there's a real devil turning the necks. And no, I will not be politically correct, and I will not be calm, and I will not sit down. So, just where I am. I was on a phone call today with Barbara Yoder for about, I guess, 45 minutes to an hour before we did the prayer call at 2:22 today. And we talked for a while, and then at the end I said, pray for me because I'm leading this call. And she had shared some things with me about how we needed to really press into the fire of God. And I felt it yesterday, and I've been feeling it. And I'm like, well, pray for me that I know how to lead us in that way. Because leading prayer calls is different. Like when we're in here, we can all just jump up and start coming and go for it. But when you're on a prayer call, you can't see people. You don't know who's wanting to pray. You don't know who's got the anointing. Because I'm listening for the sound of the anointing, not just somebody that wants to pray. And she began to pray for me and pray about the mantle of authority and the mantle of fire. And I'm telling you, something God ignited in a new way. So if you don't want the fire of God, get over it. I'll just say it that way. We are in an intense, intense season. I think we're all feeling it. We don't all know what to do with it. It's hitting in every arena. It's not just about the political landscape. There is a pressure. And there is a pressure that is coming from the enemy. But I'm going to say it this way. God's allowing it to press us into a deeper place with Him. Don't run from it. Run to it. I've told y'all this before. There was years ago when I was singing and doing that side of my life. And Steve Green had written a song, Refiner's Fire. I'm telling you, we're in a refiner's fire. And one line in the song was, I have learned to crave the refiner's fire. And musically, I had it ready to sing. And God said, you're not allowed to sing that song until you mean that phrase. And I had to get before the Lord and wrestle through to the point of God, above all else, I crave your refiner's fire. Because you can't get to the fire of God that He wants you to walk in until you walk through the refiner's fire. Because it is the refiner's fire that produces a fiery passion in you that's not born of the flesh, but is born of the Spirit. Because the refiner's fire causes there to be a separation from the wheat and the chaff. It causes there to be a purification in you of that which just stirs up your flesh. How many of you know your flesh can get stirred up? We can, and when you watch the media right now, if you watch Fox for very long or CNN, God forbid CNN or MSNBC or any of the other yay-hoots for that matter, I can tell, Michael tell you, he doesn't even like to watch the news with me because I start screaming at the TV. And some of it is righteous and some of it isn't. I'm just telling you because it taps into something in me that I'm watching these people propagate lies and silence truth. But you have to go through the refiner's fire so that when you get into the place of the Spirit, what is coming out of you is the fire of God. The refiner's fire has to come. Luke 3:16 says, but John made it clear by telling them, there is one coming who is mightier than I. He is supreme. In fact, I'm not worthy of even being his slave. I can only baptize you in this river. But he will baptize you into the Spirit of holiness and into his raging fire. That's the Passion Translation. His raging fire. And I believe right now, the church is in a divine transition from a season of John the Baptist to a season of the Spirit of holiness and the raging fire. And that's not to say people have not been following the Lord, but we have for years settled with the baptism of repentance. Baptism of repentance leads us to the baptism of Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire. We cannot be satisfied with just a baptism of repentance. We are not going to be able to just simply repent our way into what we need. It begins with repentance. We must live with a spirit of repentance, always allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to refine us into a greater and greater alignment with God and His kingdom. But you cannot stay in just saying, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. You have to change. Repentance is a change word. If you just confess your sin without changing, you've just said, God, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm going to let that settle in for a minute. Because there's a lot of times conviction comes on us and we go, yes, God, I'm sorry. I did that. I thought that. I acted that way. But then we get up and we go do it again. That is not repentance. We need to be into a place where repentance bears the fruit of repentance. What is the fruit of repentance? A changed life, a changed attitude, a changed demeanor, a change of who we are into who God created us to be. And you're going to be changed as you behold Him from glory to glory to glory. See, if we just say, I'm sorry, that's not bearing fruit. Have you ever had somebody tell you they were sorry for something they did to you and then the next day they do the same thing again? How does that make you feel? Lied to. That's a good word. And you don't trust it the next time, do you? See, God is saying, I need my people to repent and be changed. Allow my spirit, my glory to change and transform you. Get yourself into a place where the word of God, which is like a fire, to burn up everything that is in you that is not like Him. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Is my word not like fire and a hammer that shatters the rock? Now, I'm going to give you a couple of applications on this. One, the word of God comes into us as a fire to burn up everything that is not of Him. But then we release His word in intercession, and it begins to ignite things that are not of God, not of the kingdom of God, and our fire in intercession releases fire into the earth. But it's got to go here first. When you release what God's word says, you're releasing a fire to consume the enemies of our God. See, they're not our enemies. They may be our enemies, but ultimately, they're the enemies of our God. See, we got to shift the way we look at this. We've been looking at this like they're our enemies. Get over it. They're not. It's not about being an enemy of you or me. It's about it being an enemy of the purposes and of God Himself. But is His word not like a hammer? Now, what are hammers? Hammers are an instrument that are used to either nail something in place or can be used to shatter a rock. Now, I love that we've got hammers and mallets up here. We need to be shattering some walls of resistance. When you begin to release the word of God, the fire of God, and the hammer of God through your mouth with declarations out of the scriptures and out of the prophetic words, you are releasing a hammer to break down the walls of resistance. There are brick walls of resistance around cities. But as you walk in obedience to what God has said, bringing the word of God out of you, those walls begin to tumble. That's what happened at Jericho. It wasn't that they were going through shouting the whole time. Remember, they walked in silence. But they were walking in obedience, following the presence of God, following the glory of God, walking around doing exactly what He said do, which means they became a physical manifestation of the Word of God. They became the Word. They became the Word. I'm going to charge you tonight, as we go forth into this next week, you need to go walk, be the Word, around some key places in this city. Some people need to go and walk the Carter Center. A prophetic word came forth the other day on one of the prayer calls that part of the issue in Georgia and why we're not getting the breakthrough is because Jimmy Carter, and when he was in president, began the process of a two-state solution for Israel, and it's brought a curse. And I'm going to tell you, that is rooted in replacement theology that came out of the church. And we must repent, but then we must go and say, this is not standing in our state. It's not standing here. So as you have time, here's my charge to you. Go drive around the Carter Center, get your feet on the ground, and worship God. Because here's what topples a throne of iniquity: worship. Don't go shouting at that thing. Go worship. Declare the lordship of Christ. Align us with the word of God. See, God is looking for a people who will, you know, don't you think that the children of Israel felt foolish walking around Jericho? I mean, come on. But they knew they had heard God. Joshua said to them, go out there and do this. And they went, okay. I mean, can you imagine the millions walking around Jericho? Walls that are, what, 14 feet deep? Walking around like, okay, what's this going to do? But see, faith ignited on the inside of them, and they did what they were told to do, and they watched it come down. God's going to speak to you some places you need to go drive around, walk around, and decree that the hidden works of darkness be exposed, extracted, and eliminated. See, that's the fire of God. That is bringing the word forth as a hammer and as fire into our city. God told me in the 1990s, he said, I will be a wall of fire around this city and the glory in her midst. And I have decreed that word over this city virtually every day since 1994. I'm using it as a hammer. And I will not relent until I see it come to pass. And if it has to come to pass in my kids and my grandkids, I'm going to do my portion and have it keep going after me. Because in Hebrews, they decreed some things. They knew some promises that they did not see, but they did their portion, and we are now seeing what they saw. You have to be faithful. Don't worry about it being just that you see it. We are in a synergy of the movement of the ages. Look beyond the end of your life. I believe I'm going to see it. But do you know what? If I don't, I'm going to still be faithful. This passage keeps coming up, and we all know this story out of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. First Kings 18. Verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. And I decree out into this city and into this state, God is saying, stop hesitating between two opinions. Either God is God and he's your God, or he's not. Don't be those who don't answer. Answer. Declare, God, you are my God, and I will serve no other. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now we know later on in this story that God said to him, no, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I'm going to decree to you that at times you may feel like there's nobody else. There's 7,000 at least across this state that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So don't get stuck in that, the Elijah syndrome of I'm all alone. We're not all alone. There are men and women all across this nation that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're all getting tested. The prophets across this nation are getting tested. Some are shrinking back. But most are standing and standing firm because God has said, God is not done with America. America shall be saved. And there is an awakening coming to this nation that is going to bring in a billion soul harvest, and we will see it. So don't bow. Don't get tossed to and fro between opinions. Stand on what God has said. Don't let that Elijah syndrome get on you. Stand. Now let them take two oxen and let us choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire under it. Then you will call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people all said, this is a good idea. Now, logically, that doesn't sound like a very good idea, does it? But again, they heard the sound of God. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried out with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. I want to say a couple of things about this. The prophets of Baal are going through their incantations right now. The prophets of Baal are stirring up a consternation and stirring up all kinds of activity. They're even in this last season, the last several years, they've been stirring up for the sacrifice of blood because demonic altars are always served by the shedding of innocent blood. Served by the shedding of the innocent blood of abortion. Fed by the blood of cutting. That's demons provoking that. Fed by innocent bloodshed from murder and violence and abuse. The demonic altars, the prophets of Baal have been ranting and raving, not just now, but for a while. 40-something years. And they took a while before that to build that altar so they could call for the abortion. That was not a brand new altar. It had been being fueled and fed in the background until it brought enough force into this nation to make it legal. But that altar has got to come down, and the feeding of that altar must stop in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus cries out of better things than the blood of Abel. And it is time for us to align, not with the gyrations of the prophets of Baal, but to align with the purposes of God and the word of God and release the fire and the hammer of God. We can't be mealy-mouthed, weak, questioning people. I mean, we're people pleasers. There's got to be a breaking in of the fear of God. Then Elijah said, verse 30, to all the people, come near to me. So the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Now, that is the key verse for the conference we're doing this next weekend. God has given Greg Hood a revelation on what it means to repair the broken down altar. We have got to see the altar of the Lord from the broken down state it has been in this nation and in nations of the world, rebuilt to be firm and established. So Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers of water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. 12 pourings of water. 12, the number of government. 12, the number of the fullness of the tribes of God. 12, establishing the government of God over that altar. God just spoke that to me this afternoon so clearly. I had never seen that it was 12. But God is establishing his government so that he might release the fire. Verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. It was all in obedience. It wasn't just a good idea. It was obedience to what God had said. Answer me, Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back. This is where we are right now for this nation. You know, we're contending for a righteous vote, but let me just say this to all of us. I believe with all of my heart that Donald Trump is God's chosen Cyrus for this hour. But I'm going to say this to you. This isn't about Donald Trump. This is about God's purposes for this nation. This is about the heart of the people being turned back to God. This is about the church. Let's start with the church, okay? It's about us as God's people turning back to God. We're going to have to shake out of our status quo mediocrity and out of what we have come to know as church. Because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't look like Acts 2. I loved it when Nathaniel began singing, I'm pulling back the curtains to Acts 2, and it will be better than Acts 2. Yes, Lord. I can remember being a 15-year-old girl on a lake in South Carolina, and I said, God, if this is all church is, I just am going to go to the world because this is boring. It doesn't look like what I read in the Bible. What we're doing doesn't look like what is in the Bible. I'm contending that it will be. See, when the church gathered in Acts and throughout the epistles. They didn't gather for three nice songs and a sermonette. Some people wonder why I let the microphone go, because according to the word of God, is one will prophesy and then another. And let each one be subject to the other. See, we've got to get back to what the pattern is. And if worship takes off, we're more about building an altar for the Lord than I am about getting to preach a message. And any message I bring is to stir you up to godliness and good works. It's so that you can become who you're supposed to be. So that we as an ecclesia can move in the fullness of what God's called us to be. And it's not about us doing individually. It's about us doing this together with every joint supplying, causing growth of the whole in love. Is there order? Yeah, there's order. But I'm not going to let a lid be put on. Because I want to see God move more than I want to make people happy. Then, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's the kind of fire I want to see. Lick it all up. Burn the stones. Burn it up. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." See, I so believe that when the fire of God in its fullness falls upon the altars that He is having us build for His worship, that the world will not be able to deny that God and God alone has done it. It will trigger such mass evangelism that people, we'll say it this way, in the church that religiously go but don't know the fullness of God are going to get saved in an instant. And there's going to be such a manifestation of the presence and the power of God in and through His people that those who have resisted are going to suddenly come. I believe, and I heard Barbara Yoder say this today on the call, and it ignited something in me, that there is a fire coming upon God's people, that when we stand up to proclaim what God says, it's going to cause such conviction to come upon them, they will run to the altar. That's what happened with Peter. The fire of God was so on him from that Pentecostal encounter. It wasn't just some sweet little thing. The fire of God hit him. He preached and 3,000 came to Jesus that day. If then, why not now? Why do we believe it shouldn't be that way now? Because we become so blooming intellectual about our faith that we don't understand the power of God. We have to figure it all out. Stop it. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to negotiate through intellectually. We've got to break off that industrialized enlightenment mentality and come back to the power of God. Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." Do you know what that reminds me of? Just suddenly in that instant. Remember when Samuel told Saul, "Go in and kill them all. Don't reserve any of them." But what did he do? He saved the sheep and the king. Agag. And do you know what they battled for generations? Was the Agagites. See, if we don't take the care of this completely, we will always have a battle. Quit tolerating what God says don't tolerate. Quit excusing what God doesn't excuse in your own life. See, that plumb line has to come in us first. If God says no more, then say, okay. Is it going to be easy to say okay and walk? Not necessarily. It doesn't matter. We have got to develop a strength of will that when God says, that's it, we say, yes, sir. And I lean into you for the grace to stay with your that's it. Whatever that is. Don't let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. That word Kishon is a twisting, a crooked, or a torturous place. He lured them out to the place of their destruction. God's going to release a wisdom on his people to know how to pull and draw the prophets of Baal out into a place of exposure. They're going to expose themselves. See, we're seeing this, and we see it all the way through Scripture. God will release a people to do what he's saying to do, to decree what he's saying to do. He will send the angel armies out ahead of us and bring confusion into the camp. I'm going to tell you, we got to begin to decree confusion into the enemy's camp, that they would begin to turn on each other. It has got to happen. It has to happen in fullness of measure. That they begin to turn on each other. I'm going to tell you, I am believing that there are some that right now or up to this point have been aligned. And I'm just going to say it this way. With the democratic ideology that is out of the pit. But conviction is coming upon them, and they're going to begin to stand up and say, we can't do this. We must have a fair and just vote count in this nation. And I decree that over this state. Because right now what's happening is not fair nor just. When they're supposed to be recounting and people show up to be monitors and there's nobody there recounting, you got a problem. That happened today. God is allowing this so that we learn some kingdom principles of how to operate. You need to understand this. God's using this to teach us and train us. Because he will have a people in this nation. He has a people in this nation, and he will have a greater people in this nation. I'm going to close with this out of Psalm 45, verse 1, Passion Translation. And if you can't tell, I think this verse has been one of my key verses for years. And the Lord said, I want you to close with this today. My heart is on fire, boiling over with passion. Bubbling up within me are these beautiful lyrics as a lovely poem to be sung for the king. Like a river bursting its banks, I'm overflowing with words spilling out into this sacred story. God wants us all to be burning with a holy, fiery passion. That out of our mouths will be released violent praise. Passionate praise. Words that fill the atmosphere of your life and your home and everywhere you go. That he is the God of all gods and there is no other one like him. He is the king of all kings and there is no other king. He is the eternal one, the mighty God. He is El Gabor. And Chris, I'm going to see if you can pull that video up. Because as we close tonight, I have been waking up in the middle of the night. And how many of you sometimes wake up and you've got something going through you? A scripture, a song, a something. I have virtually every night, at some point during the night, wake up and this song is playing in my spirit. So I want you to see, this is who our God is. He is El Gabor, the mighty God. He is the victorious God. He is our champion. And this song says, the sword of El Gabor is upon them. And I just decree over us, as I'm going to have you stand because I don't want you being passive during this. I decree over us, there is an activation in this house of the sword of El Gabor among us and upon us. And as Sandra and I fly out tomorrow, I admonish you, pray for us. We are flying into Pittsburgh, then going up to Cowdersport, Pennsylvania, to Gospel Tabernacle, to be in a nationally called prayer meeting by Dutch Sheets. He asked that the team of us that leads the prayer calls to be there with him. And so we're flying up to Pittsburgh. My brother-in-law lives there in Pittsburgh, so he's going to drive us up to Cowdersport. We will be flying back on Wednesday, and then we do begin the conference Thursday night. So this is an intense week. You can log in to watch and participate. I'm not going to say watch. Participate in the prayer gathering on go to dutchsheets.org. It will be on his Facebook page. It will also be on YouTube. And you can get all the information on dutchsheets.org. I encourage you, get online and engage with us. Add the power of your agreement. Pray for us as we go. And for me, as I will be a part of the team releasing prayers and declarations and decrees for this nation, that it will be what God wants. And the story behind this is so phenomenal about how God, I'm going to tell y'all this just real quick, how God sent an 80-year-old grandmother through the word of the Lord in 1955 to drive this area of Pennsylvania. She lived in Long Island. Everything good comes out of Long Island. She lived in Long Island. She drove to this place that is north of Pittsburgh, south of Buffalo, and drove it for 3 months until she just drove the area until she found the spot God had shown her in the vision. Moved her family there. And now one of her grandsons is the presiding judge in the county. Her son, they started a church. Her son, David Minor, then led it. He was connected with David Wilkerson. He started the church. They built the church based on the vision that his mother had had. Now the grandson leads it. They built in this town, get this, of 2,500 people, they built a church that'll seat 1,000. With all the high techs, everything they need in order to broadcast what God is doing. They believe that this gathering is a part of the beginning of that fulfillment of what their grandmother saw. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And all of this came together literally from like Tuesday or Wednesday of last week until we're going tomorrow. So let's play this, Chris. Engage with El Gabor, and all week, engage with El Gabor. This is off the Glory of Zion new CD that came out earlier in the year, New Era. It is worth the download, I'm just going to tell you, okay? We got it ready to go?
Cannot take the fearful Only those who stay alert march on, my children march on, my children march on. Have your torches lit and your trumpets by your side, and in the still of the night, let the enemy
Put it on replay. It's on YouTube. Just get it and put it on replay. Let it get into your spirit. Father, I release the sword of El Gabor upon us, that we will not be those that shrink back in the day of adversity, but we will turn back the battle at the gate. It is up to your ecclesia to turn back the battle at the gate. So, Lord, I release the fire of God into your people to move with purity, passion, and power, with a confidence that is birthed out of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Let the sword of El Gabor be upon us. Let it be for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.